Welcome to Boomercast number 22. It is May 17th, one day after BMW's historic win on the Nürburgring. We're going to be talking about a ton of cars today. The N55 1 Series, Michael's going to have a review of that. The M3 Competition Package on the track, the 335 IS on the track, the Alpina B7 on the track, and the 7 Series Active Hybrid on the track. You guessed it, the track. We're going to be talking a little bit about that Nürburgring win as well, so stay tuned. Okay, a huge week for us, but first, I have to start by congratulating BMW Motorsport on, I would have to call it a historic win. It is, bravo. The GT2 M3 has won outright at the Nürburgring 24 hours, which is, I would say, the toughest 24-hour race, the toughest race in the world.
Yeah, without a doubt. The car takes a beating. And the drivers take beatings as well. That track is just very involved, tiring, as you know, Gabe, and rough on cars.
Well, and it's a huge win because this team came in there. It's the first time they've raced 24 hours at the ring, and they went up against Porsche. And as we all know, Porsche in the past few years has really owned that track, for better or worse. They've got their GT. Threes, their GT2s, their GT3 race cars, the GT3Rs, I believe, or RSRs, I think they may be called. They've had those things on the track for so long in the current configuration that you can imagine they just know the track. And BMW came in with a car that they hadn't had there before. They had there a couple times last year and then earlier this year, but you know they're still getting to know the track with that car. In fact, the last time they won this race was 2005 with the E46 M3 GTR.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable how long it's been since BMW was there. But we can thank this all to the demise of the F1 team. Goodbye, F1.
Well, as much as I love F1, I think, you know, production-based race cars, they're exciting. You know, that you're looking at this M3 that is truly based on what you can go out and buy. You know, a V8 engine, again, that is based on what is in the showroom. And they have gone out and they have won the most difficult race in the world. And it's I think, a testament to the car, to the team, to the engineers back in Munich, everything. It's utterly fantastic. You know, car 25 came from, I think it was it sixth place?
And yeah, to the end.
They were fast and they were consistent. And that is exactly how you win a race like the 24 Hours of Nürburgring.
That, and you have some fantastic BMW Motorsport racing stripes.
Well, as much as the car won, I think, Michael, you'd argue it was the stripes that won today as well.
I'm fairly certain it was the stripes, Gabe.
Well, I think it's fair to say that this car looks fantastic, and I would argue better than what we have in the ALMS races with the BMW Joy car. But that aside, let's put our personal sort of, you know, color livery choice aside and just congratulate this team. A huge victory. You just cannot say enough about the team and about the race in general.
Absolutely, and it's impressive to see how far they've come with the longevity of this car in the past year. Because the original race last year at Sebring, they were having all sorts of, you know, shaft issues with this, and they were having oil issues. And this year at Sebring, they finished up the race nicely, and you know they move on, and the same sort of car was winning 24 hours at the ring. So I think we're going to have a really good race in front of us at Le Mans.
Well, right. So Le Mans is just not even, I think, a month away, or roughly a month away. And as we all know, the 24 Hours of the Nürburgring is the tougher of the two races. And I think, for my money, if I had to go to one, it would be the 24 Hours of the Nürburgring. But the press, the public, everybody's infatuated with Le Mans. And I think BMW has to be as well. And clearly, they are gearing up for that race. This is fantastic, but I'm sure that team will tell you that it's just a stepping stone to go and win the class at Le Mans. It's going to be fantastic to watch.
Looking forward to it.
So they're going to be battling Ferraris, Corvettes, Aston Martins, Audis, and of course, the Porsches.
The Porsche hybrid is very interesting to me, actually. I can't wait to see what the outcome of that is, if that is going to be what they race next year in ALMS or later this season, to be honest with you.
And if I was following the race, and you have to understand, being in the U.S., following the 24 Hours of Nürburgring is not easy. But from my understanding, the Porsche hybrid was leading. That was the car that was leading towards the end when it broke down.
Yeah, so reliability aside, that's a fast car.
Yeah, I have to say, I mean, as much as I think we should all be celebrating the BMW win, wow. That is impressive. That is I wouldn't say entirely new, but I mean, it's a new car, new configuration, and really one of the very first endurance races they've raced with that thing. And for it to do that well, wow, that's going to have to be something to be reckoned with in the future. You've got to hand it to Williams Engineering, the F1 team, Williams F1, for actually developing that hybrid flywheel system, which that Porsche uses. Porsche just bought that technology and installed it in the car. It's pretty impressive.
Something's going to have to be done on BMWs, and I think we're going to probably see that in the next couple of years too.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know what? Competition breeds success, and competition breeds you know, just enhancements. You can't argue with that, and it's going to be exciting to see what BMW comes off with. But for the day, they have won. They are the champions at the Nürburgring. So well done.
Kudos.
So we've been busy. We actually have been driving a lot of cars, and I know we've said that in the past, but Michael, I don't think there's been a week where we could say that more. I mean, you personally have driven, I think, every single BMW on the track that they currently sell in the U.S.
Yeah, everything minus the X3 and the X5 and base models. Pretty much driven every car and M product. Yeah,
that's exciting. I know I'm going to be busy. In fact, when you're hearing this now, I'm actually on a plane going to Austria to go drive, to be the very first person outside of BMW to drive the Mini Countryman. And I'll also be getting some tours, some workshops, all sorts of information around the inner workings, the inner sanctum of BMW engineering this week. So look for a lot of stories, of photos, of everything around that. Of course, Countryman stuff, the Mini Countryman, you can follow on Motoring File as well. But until that, Michael, this show is yours, because I am dying to hear about your experience. You drove, and we can just rattle them off really quick, and we can come back and talk about each. The N55 1 Series, M3 Competition Package, 335 IS, the Alpina B7, 7 Series Active Hybrid. I mean, these are all cars that we really haven't had a chance to get on the track, let alone some of them even drive. So let's start with that 1 Series N55. For those who don't know, BMW replaced the N54 twin-turbo engine in the 1 Series with the twin scroll single turbo N55 engine. Gives it better fuel economy, but you know, while torque and horsepower on paper are the same, it is arguably a little less. So that is the theory. Michael, you tell us if that's wrong or not, having driven it.
Well, having driven it, I can honestly say that the N55 motor definitely has notable performance gains in the form of throttle response. The motor is very responsive. Everything seems to come a little bit sooner than it did in the N55. Also, aside from the motor, which, you know, by the way, sounds great, BMW swapped out the automatic slush box and gave us the DCT in the 135. And we're not going to get on the stick versus DCT battle here, because we all know how we stand. We've pretty much etched ourselves as left-foot snobs. But the DCT, the more I drive it, and I think Gabe, the same for you, the more you drive it, the more we're starting to like it.
Yeah.
You know, and on the track, it's really at home. It rev matches. It's so quick. It's so precise. It's really a great pairing with the N55. I was very impressed with it. And also, for 2011 BMW, the engineers, they never leave anything untouched. So They opted to change the spring rates pretty much in all of, I think it's the one series and the three series, the sport equipped cars and the M sport equipped cars.
Interesting.
Yeah, so instead of using progressive spring rates like they have in the past, they're actually using a linear spring rate, and they've increased the spring rates. So the cars are a bit stiffer. On the street, they're going to feel a little bit rougher, but when you're pushing the car, it pushes back in a much more controlled manner.
That's
There's less.
interesting because that's one thing that having spent some time with a 135i, that was one of my concerns. I mean, it just, when you push it felt relatively solid, relatively, I mean, almost, I wouldn't say rough, but certainly stiff on the road. But yet, when you really pushed it, it wallowed, and it almost felt like weight was getting to it. But it sounds like it was really just the springs.
Yeah, and that's one thing I've noticed the biggest difference, I think, personally, from driving it, from excuse me, from past experiences to the current experience, was that you could go from corner to corner and transition more easily because there's less body roll. So there's not mass going all over the place, and taking away from you actually nailing what you want to hit with the tire patches. So to me, it was a much more controlled experience. It was a better experience, in my opinion. The one thing I did notice is that with the N55 and the DCT, the car is less likely to want to get tail out under full load, full throttle, which was kind of interesting because in the N54, the car would love to get, sideways, a little tail happy. So it's a little bit more reined in, I think, in that area, but I think that has a lot to do with also the suspension. And I really didn't get to talk to the engineers about how they've tweaked the DC, the DSC, the dynamic stability control, or the dynamic traction control on those cars. Because unfortunately, at these events, you can't take the system and turn it off. It's one of the requirements. So if you did, say, end up in a wall and the button was off, it's your fault. So DTC was on the traction control, which allows some nice wheel slip, and you can get it sideways and do all sorts of things with it. But, and like strips, which is fun, but it was a great experience, and the car doesn't lose anything through the motor. And on the site, you'll see that I've posted a N54 to N55 dyno comparison that someone from the web actually sent on to us, which was really great, and it shows how there are slight differences in when cars reach their horsepower peak and when they reach their torque peak, but in reality, they're very, very similar. So there isn't a real underpowering of this N55. It's very similar to the N54 at the wheels.
So aside from tunability, we can at the stock level, if you're just looking at stock power and whatnot, we can put to rest the fact that the N55 is a downgrade from the N54.
Yeah, without a doubt, I would say that it's not a downgrade. It's progress in the right direction for efficiency and throttle response. I mean, there's no detectable lag. I mean, even the drive-by-wire lag, you really, that's the only thing you notice.
Interesting. That's really, really interesting because I think that's one of the biggest fears. I mean, you had people even saying, and we even asked the question ourselves. I mean, is this a downgrade for, 2, 3 miles per gallon? I mean, frankly, we didn't know. At this point, we have to say no, it's not. And kudos to BMW because I think to attain similar and if not slightly better performance with better fuel economy, it's hard to fault that really.
It is. And the other benefit now of these 2011s is the pull paddles, which Gabe and I, we've talked at length about, which is nice to see too. So the DCT has the pull.
Well, and I think, theoretically, I would think this car may be a little lighter because the engine is missing a turbo. Is that true?
The packaging is a little bit lighter as well because they actually have the engine management mounted to the block, so there's actually less wiring and all that going on. So it is a significantly lighter package, I
But
believe.
does that show up in the actual curb weight? I mean, are we seeing a different figure, or are they not releasing that as a different figure for
I
2011?
haven't I haven't really in depth looked at the numbers as far as that goes. And I'm not sure how much the DCT weighs in relation to the 6-speed auto that was there or versus the manual. So, there's probably a trade-off, and I don't necessarily know if you feel the difference in the car.
Interesting. So I mean, again, awesome. Cannot wait to drive that car. In fact, I just had a chance to play around with a 128, 2011 128 BMW, a little bit, just kind of look around. And, you know, the 1 Series is a great car. You know, if you can get away with a slightly smaller package, it is unquestionably, you know, more chuckable than the 3 Series. The 3 Series has grown quite a bit, even in coupe form. So 1 Series is definitely an attractive package. But let's talk about the 335 IS, because I think we've obviously reviewed it. You've reviewed it. I've reviewed it. We've talked about it at length. But you've had a chance to actually take it on the track now. I'd love to hear your thoughts.
I came away thoroughly impressed, to be honest with you. I didn't have the highest expectations for it on the track because, you know, realistically, it's a sport-equipped car with more power and more torque, which doesn't always yield better performance on a nice winding track. You know, throttle on, throttle off, we want to make sure we're all set and ready to roll. But the car, and this also has those linear springs now, and increased spring weight. So it definitely pushes back better than it has in the past. And it's fantastic on the track. It really, truly was. Numerous hot laps in a row with no cool down. Brakes really didn't fade all that bad. And noticeably, the temperature gauge didn't really move, which for early production N54 cars, we know was an issue. You know, cars didn't have oil coolers in them, and you take it to the track and then you'd see your temperature gauge start to migrate towards the bad side. But BMW really did test this car for cooling, and they did a great job because it didn't move.
So that's interesting. I mean, obviously that was a real issue with those 335i's originally. Now, just curious, you drove a M3 later in the day, and I don't want to give away your thoughts on that. You also own an E90 M3, and we've talked a lot about what makes more sense, a 335i's versus a slightly used M3. What are your thoughts now, having driven it on the track?
The 335IS is a perfectly capable daily driver. It's great on the track if that's what you want to do here and there. I mean, I can't say that in stock form it's something you're going to want to take to the track regularly on the weekends. The brakes eventually, if you're doing it long enough, will be the downfall of the car. So you would have to do a brake upgrade. But otherwise, it's a great car. It doesn't have the same growth range as an M3 does. You will outgrow the car probably, you know, 3 years down the road, but you will outgrow the ability of the car if that's something you're so inclined.
And so to expand on that, when you say outgrow, what do you mean by that?
Well, the balance, then we're going to just drift into the M3 rant.
No, it's probably best to do that.
It's a good segue into what makes the M3 better. The M3 just has a better balance to it. Mm-hmm. It's much more capable from a suspension geometry situation. The diff in the M3 also helps significantly in tight turning.
And this is the UPS truck diff that you've referred to.
Yes, yes, that's the UPS truck diff. Yes, absolutely. And the steering is much more precise in an M3. Mm-hmm. The M3 is really, really precise. I mean, you can put the car wherever you want it and feel exactly what's going on.
And that's
happen.
One thing I will say, having driven both, and I'll jump in here to back you up on that. It is night and day in terms of difference. And we talked about the Z4. I talked about the Z4 35IS review. I talked about that car having great steering feel, some of the best non-M steering feel out there. But nothing compares to what you have in a true M car, especially the M3. Now, there are those that have said the E46 has better steering feel. I would agree. The E90 isn't quite where the E46 was. The E46 isn't quite where the E36 was. And the E36 isn't quite where the E30 is. But that said, there is certainly enough steering feel there. But more importantly, there's precision. And you hit the nail on the head. You can place that car anywhere and you know it's going to be there, and you have utter confidence, whereas with a 1 Series or a 3 Series or even a 335IS, there's levels or layers of feedback and engagement that is removed because it's more of a consumer car, it's more of a commuter car, frankly, it's more of an everyday car. And there's certain trade-offs that BMW looks at and says, well, most people won't live with an M3 and steering that is, has certain characteristics. So we're going to dial back some of that, and we're going to give you something that's 90% as close, but you'll never, and you'll be fine. Most people will never ever know that there's a difference, but for enthusiasts, you get behind the wheel, it's pretty clear that the M3 is head and shoulders in terms of the steering and the feedback in the fuel department, head and shoulders above the 335 IS.
Yeah, that's, couldn't put it better myself. The other thing that I actually found noticeably different, and I complain about this all the time in my M3, is that I complain the seats in the M3 aren't adequate. Well, driving the 335 IS rough, hard on a track, the bolstering on that is completely inadequate if you're really pushing the car. So that's another trade-off. You'd have to upgrade your seats.
So I'm just curious because, doing track days, I typically will actually fit a Schroth harness. And when I fit a Schroth harness, and I know you didn't have the ability to do that in this particular situation, but my general feeling, if I have a Schroth harness, I don't care if I'm sitting on a park bench. That thing has me secured in a way that is just unarguable. I mean, I'm not going anywhere. So as much as I love good seats, as long as you're strapped in, I always felt like, sports seats, they're always just kind of sporty looking and they feel good on the, but if you really want to get serious in the track, unless you're going to get a Recaro, just get yourself a Schroth harness and you're good to go.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. If you can, that's what you do. Day-to-day driving, I happen to live by reservoirs and things like that, so I don't have that ability, and I'm not going to say where I drive regularly, but I'll see a nice officer waiting for me tomorrow morning. So what I'm saying is, if you're ripping on the back roads and pushing the car pretty hard, it's really good to have the M3 bolsters rather than the regular sport seats, even though I've complained 1,000 times about the M3 bolsters.
Well, and again, I agree. I mean, the Schroth harness is not for the road, but it's, first off, sports seats are a must. Having just sat in a 128i with no sports seats, it did feel like a park bench. You just sort of slid into it. And that's one thing I've noticed in the past 10 years, especially the bottom bolsters, the bottom cushion and the side bolsters and the bottom cushion have progressively been tilting outward.
Huh. Could that be because people are getting wider
asses? Well, I mean, I gotta be honest with you, my 535 IS, like, I'm not a small guy, I'm not a big guy. I'm like a 33, 34, in jeans. If my pant size was any bigger, I would not fit in those seats perfectly. I mean, it's that, like, you that's that car and those seats were not made for a typical American these days. And, likewise, you look at the M3, the E90 M3 seats, compare them to the E46 seats. The E46 are a little bit more narrow and a little bit more aggressive.
It's true.
So not to get too far off, but I mean, it's clear that the 335S is a great car, but doesn't quite, it's like 90% of the M3, whereas maybe the 335i with a sport package was 75%. Does that seem like a fair statement?
Yeah, it's a fair statement. It's one notch below an M3. It's a happy medium. It really truly is. I think they nailed it. I really think they nailed it. The exhaust sounds great for a turbo. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be that high whale that the V8 has, but it's a fine car, and I think it's going to serve a really great market, to be honest with you. I think we're going to start seeing those at the track more often.
Awesome. Well, I love it. Can't wait. So speaking of Segways, let's talk about the M3, and you drove the M3 competition package.
Yeah, I drove the new M3 competition package, which for all intents and purposes is cosmetic in nature, with some tweaks. You have a 10 millimeter change in the offset in the rear wheels, so you have a little bit wider stance thanks to the actual rim. No suspension geometry changes were actually made. It was all just done with the wheels. Mm-hmm. In the EDC, the adjustable suspension, the sport mode is not locked out as it was in the past with other models. So what that means is that the sport mode is now adaptive. So it learns what you're doing, how much to push, and how to adjust the wheels based on driving conditions and road conditions. Where in the past, it would just lock the dampers at a set rate, and that was it. It was really good in the base models for autocrossing and things like that. Wasn't the best on the track. That's where you put it in normal, actually, for the track. And the fastest lap time on the ring, I was told, was actually in comfort mode, which is pretty interesting.
Are you
But that's just
serious?
how,
That's
yeah, that's how rough the ring is. There's
well,
so many, changes in the road that the comfort was
that's
quick.
true. That's absolutely true. If you listen to our Boomercast special on the ring, it's essentially just myself and good friend Axel going around the ring. That was one of the first things I remarked on is how bumpy the thing is. It feels like a road from Michigan.
Yeah. So the EDC in sport, it helps. It makes a noticeable difference in the track in cornering. And I'm not sure how much of a difference the offset makes, but engineers say that it's measurable. Whatever that means, they know what they're talking about. So I don't know if it's a few seconds here and a few seconds there off ring times or what. To me, it didn't feel all that different in terms of the geometry of the car. The rims look great. The wheels, they look fantastic. It's a little bit lower as well, which gives it a more menacing look. Aside from that, that's it really about the M3 on the track with the ZCP. No brake change as in the past, but the brakes are adequate. The biggest change you're going to have to make with the brakes is if you're going to be going to track days and doing things, you get yourself some padded yellows and you call it a day.
So you've driven your car on the track very
Yes.
recently.
Yes.
Would you, if you were buying an M3, would you tell somebody to go ahead and opt for the competition package?
Yeah, there's no trade-off in for being a negative option aside from cost, to be honest with you. And it's actually fairly cheap. I paid the $2,500, I think it is, for just the wheels because they look fantastic.
Yeah, they're utterly fantastic.
So, and you get the added EDC as a throw-in, and it's a little lower, so it does look meaner. I do like it. It's a great deal. It's a great bang for your buck because you're getting those sweet wheels. So I can't see why you would actually package the car without it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, totally agree. Completely.
And the M3 on the track is just, it's where it's supposed to be.
Yeah, well, and you got the sound. I mean, God, that sound is fantastic. So that was those are the small cars.
Well, the other small car, which we didn't mention earlier, was the Z435IS, so the other IS.
Really? So what did you think of that actually on the track?
It's that roadster feel. You have that big, huge nose, and you're way back, so it's a completely different feel on the track. It's quick, and I would dare to say that in certain spots it was as quick as an M3 on the straights, without a doubt. And then in cornering, it actually came away fairly impressed with the cornering. It's a very interesting car, and it really is tail happy, of course, being a roadster. But it was fun, and it was a really great time. That car is just a lot of fun.
That's really interesting. I cannot say enough great things about that Z435IS. It's a wonderful car, a great looking car too.
Yeah, and it's hopped up a little bit on horsepower because there's more cooling available in the because of the front end of that car. So that's why they're able to, I think it's up 20 horse. It's 340 horsepower versus the 320 horsepower in the
Yeah, it's
335IS.
interesting because we've had a few people ask us about that. What gives? I mean, why is 335IS so much lower? So it's all about cooling that N54.
Likes to run a little warm and they don't
Yeah.
want to chance it, so.
Yeah. No, that's not a bad thing. So small cars aside, I would love to hear about this Alpina B7 on the track.
Well, the
Don't wait,
Alpina,
before I
yeah.
start, don't even tell me that this thing is neutral. Don't even pretend to say it's neutral.
No, the easiest way to explain it is if you've ever seen Jeremy Clarkson driving that the Bentley, I think it was the Arenage, and he's doing that smoke show, and he's basically just spinning the tires whenever he felt like it. Yeah, that's the Alpina B7. It will spin the tires whenever it feels like it.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It stops, which was surprising because something so big really shouldn't stop, and it stops. Those brakes and those calipers from the safety or the security vehicles actually do what they're supposed to do. And I actually was in a couple of hot laps with the owner of the company, Andy. Bova Sapien, and he was driving the living snot out of the car, and it was amazing to be in something so big and yet go so fast.
No, that guy can drive. I mean, he's
Yes.
done the 24 hours of the Nürburgring.
Yeah, he can drive. That's an understatement. I drove it and wasn't capable as he was, and it was pretty amazing. The scariest part about that car is that you can drive it so luxuriously, put it in comfort mode, and not feel a single bump. And then all of a sudden it transforms into like this animal, and you unleash it on the track, and it will hold its own on the track without a doubt. But then you drive it home again in comfort mode. It's something that's just eye-opening.
That's amazing. So, speaking of 7 Series active hybrid. So, you had a chance to drive that as well?
7 Series active hybrid, the easiest way I can explain it is like you're launching off an aircraft carrier with the thing. It is so quick to 60 and then some. It was eye-opening. It was kind of scary because after having been driven in the 760, the V12, and hammered, like going crazy with it, the 7 active hybrid, I would say, is almost as quick, if not quicker. Well, while getting better fuel economy and actually costing a little less. So to me, it was kind of amazing that, BMW gives us this V8 powered car with this electric motor in there that says, "Hey, you want some more power? I'm going to give it to you." And it just launches you. It's amazing. And it has an auto start stop and does all that eco-friendly goodness. But at the same time, it is very capable of driving.
Wow, that's really interesting. I mean, that's the mild hybrid we've talked about in the past, and probably a little bit more of the future as far as hybrids go for BMW. I would expect the 5 Series to probably follow along those lines, less than what you saw on the X6 hybrid. So it's actually really cool to hear that it's so fast. I mean, it's such a gunship.
Yeah, it's really quick. And yeah, the 5 Series, rumor has that it's going to be offered in a diesel for the US. That's a rumor.
Well, we had talked about that rumor in the past, and I think Michael, you and I would probably agree that it may not be the twin turbo 3 liter that's currently offered in the X5 and the 3 Series.
Yeah, I think they're going to scroll back the performance end of the diesel and give us some miles per gallon.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. I think this is just me, just going on a limb, that the 3 liter single turbo diesel may be a better choice.
Yeah, I would think so too, like a 530D. That would be a better happy medium as far as performance slash efficiency goes. I mean, if they wanted to, they could even do a 520D, but I think they'd have a really hard time selling that to the masses.
Well, and you've got the five, you've got the, the 123D, for instance, the 320D over in Europe right now, which is the efficient dynamics package, if you will. And then you start to get into these incredibly high efficiency 3 and 4 cylinders that they're going to be coming out with in just a couple of years. So BMW has no shortage of efficient engines, and it really it's hitting that sweet spot, especially for the 5 Series buyer in the US.
Without a doubt. And they're working on the inline six active hybrid as well.
Yeah,
So,
that'll be really, really cool. So before we leave the track conversation, any surprises? I mean, you've been driving everything. What did you come away with that surprised you?
well, I had the experience again of driving the X6M on the track, and this time it was X6M. M3 335iS, so smaller cars versus the X6M. And what I came away with was that the X6M really is as quick as I remember it as being. It does things that it should not do. You're sitting up so high that you have such a different vantage point driving, so you take different lines and kind of see the track a little bit different because you're higher up. So so it kind of is a benefit on that end. And the thing is I still can't get over what they're able to do with it, but there is a lot between you, the wheels, and the track.
Interesting.
So
Well, yeah, as somebody who's driven the X6 non-AM, X650i, I mean, that was one of the things that blew me away is this car should not be doing the things it's currently doing as I'm going around corners. I mean, it has no right to handle as good as it does.
Yeah, none whatsoever.
So
None whatsoever.
it's a pretty incredible vehicle. I'm actually going to have the X5M in a few weeks, and I'm going to be doing a long term on it. So stay tuned for that. But awesome, I mean, awesome week. I mean, as I mentioned, I'm going to have some stuff for us next week with a trip to Munich and a trip to the cold chamber and the wind tunnel and the altitude adjustment chamber, every chamber you could ever imagine. Plus we're going to be talking to a lot of folks from BMW. But I did want to mention one thing. We were talking about the steering feel of old cars that tend to be better than new cars, and I think that couldn't be, I think, any more a better example couldn't be made between, I think, the new 5 series and the old 5 series. So I'm really excited to hear your review of this car and compare it to even the E60 that you've had in the past, because we've had some folks that have Dan Neal, for instance, from the LA Times, call out the new 5 series as just being boring for better or worse. I mean, just, flat out boring. And I'm interested to hear your take on it.
Yeah, I think we'll go into that and have a whole show on that. I also was able to drive the 535 and the 550 on the track. And we currently have a 550 long term, well, not long term, but short term, I guess you could say, for a
In
few
the
days
stable, if you will.
in the stable. And I'm coming away actually quite impressed. As a former E60 owner myself, I think I have a good opinion on what this car is compared to the
Well,
previous model.
I'm excited as an E28 owner to have one in the stable here and kind of go from there. I've been on this 5 series frenzy ever since I bought my E28 last year, and I think it's just a such an interesting car because it doesn't quite have the nimbleness of the 3 series, but it has an air of elegance and a certain attitude that you just have to respect. And I've been on a particular tear on 5 series, just looking for them the past 3 months, and lo and behold, a guy literally 3 doors down has somehow acquired, I have no idea where it came from, it's an E34 M5, pristine condition, with the original M system wheels on it, just parked on the street, poorly parked, I might add.
Oh boy.
Yeah, and I have to say, as a BMW enthusiast, do you my first reaction is to go down there and leave a note on the windshield saying,
Why are you parking that on the street?
"No, it's what's the deal with your car? Are you willing to sell it? What are your plans with it?" Because I feel like I have to rescue it. And I have to actually, it's like an old woman and cats, It's like she can't have enough cats somehow. She has to rescue all the cats. That's how I'm with these damn old 5 series. I just look at them like, ah, that thing's got to be taken care of. I mean, this isn't right. So of course I have to kind of stop myself. But it is a sweet looking E34 M5. And if there is ever a car that is a sleeper, I mean, that's it. That is a fantastic hand-built engine. Beautiful, beautiful E34 chassis. I'd say the quintessential shape of the 5 series in my mind. Just a great car.
And it's poorly parked on the street.
And it's poorly parked on the street. So anyway, we'll let you know how that ends up.
Nice.
So I think that is probably our show for the week, but obviously we'll have a ton more next week. We'll be talking about that 550 that's currently in the garage of our we'll just call it our East Coast headquarters. We will be back, of course, next week with a ton on BMW testing facilities, engineering, and a lot of information behind what goes into the cars that we all love. So until then, this is Gabe. Cheers.
Michael, Prost.